The hailing frequencies are open. Fun fact, I've never ever said that before in Geek History Lesson Extra. Welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra, the bonus podcast. I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Inman, but you already know that because you're beautiful, sexy patrons and you help us over here on Patreon. So that means you're sexy. And that means that you helped us kidnap Matt Kelly, host of the Horror Movie Night podcast. We put him in a stagecoach. It was the one pulled by Kate Beckinsale, not the one pulled by Hugh Jackman. So Hugh Jackman,
did they pull it so much as they drove them?
Well, the horses actually pulled it and drove it. So like he was in the Kate Beckinsale one. Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman, Dracula took the Hugh Jackman one, which actually had
Jonathan London.
Sure, Jonathan London, they host the Geekscape podcast. So Jonathan London is now a prisoner of Dracula, but we got Matt Kelly because we put him in the right stage. Goes, hello, Matt Kelly. Thank you for helping us kidnap you.
Someone help me. The place, no one doing anything.
No. Be quiet. The Vatican said we must keep you and we will keep you for all time.
We will keep you for an extra podcast.
Yeah. Matt, as we do here on Geek History Lesson, we like to bring our guests on, and because this is behind the paywall and, we can talk about struck work it can also not be struck work. What are you enjoying right now? Are there any movies, television shows, songs?
Actually might be one of our few guests who can talk about music that he's enjoying right now.
What is exciting you right now?
So here's the thing. The positive and the negative of my life is that I do all these podcasts and I love them so much. The negative is that 99% of what I'm watching, listening to, or reading is research for those podcasts.
I was going to make that crack. I was like, what are you actually able to like enjoy for funsies and not for worksies?
Yeah. So honestly, my for funsies thing as of late has been just reading. And I've really fallen in love. I've really fallen in love with reading YA novels. Like I've really cracked this code of enjoying these, especially the modern young adult novels are so interesting and like well-written with these thought-provoking characters. And I have to give a shout out to my friend, Eric J. Brown. He was the reason why I got into reading them, because he has published two books now. And the first one did pretty well, and they're doing a sequel to his book, All That's Left in the World. And then I read it because I wanted to support a friend, and I was like, oh, this is really good. But then his most recent book that he put out, called Lose You to Find Me, is literally about the high school job where him and I met and became friends. So I read that entire book on my flight to California for Comic-Con last month, and that, like, I got through it so quickly. And I was like, you know what? This is what makes me happy. So I've probably read like 7 YA novels since like July. Like I've just been knocking maybe one out every week and a half. On the Haunted Mansion episode, you recommended a Haunted Mansion YA novel that I literally just finished reading the same day that episode came out.
I remember you texting me about that. Wait, can you give us like a little short review of the Claudia Gray, right?
Claudia Gray novel?
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's so much darker than I thought it was going to be. And the way I explained it to someone recently was like, when you're reading a book that's based on an amusement park ride, you feel like it's going to just be packed to the gills with fan service. Mm-hmm. And it definitely was, but I was really taken aback by like the fan service was in the tiniest little references to like the wallpaper or like a ghost that you distinctly remember from riding the ride and stuff like that. But the storyline was just the type of storyline that if I was given the okay to do like a PG-13 horror movie, I would be like, I want to adapt this novel. Like I would probably take out the Haunted Mansion aspect of it, but like the idea of like a teenager, your main villain in this book is essentially a teenager so ignored by her family that she's ready to be possessed by the ultimate evil just to wipe the entire planet clean. And it's like, that is some heavy stuff for a children's novel. So I loved that book. And I mean, my friends, books also, Lose You to Find Me is just a queer YA romance novel. But All That's Left in the World, the story of him getting that book published is fascinating because he signed the contract to have it published on March 13th, 2020.
Eep.
2020. And his book is literally about a year after a pandemic wipes out half of the Earth's population, like a very like what happens to society after that. And he was writing it for like 5 years. He had no clue what was about to come, but they had to postpone the book for almost a year and a half because it was so close to what was happening for all of us at that point in time. And I love how he explained it to me was, he would watch Walking Dead and be like, the gays would handle this so much differently. So he just wanted to write a book from his lens of like what he would do in a dystopian society that would make it where he's like, in my mind, I just thought, you know, most of the queer people would survive because we've already dealt with enough. Like, mm-hmm. like this would just be old hat for us. And it's a very funny, charming book about two kids who find each other while wandering in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, basically. And a romance blossoms from there. It's so funny. It's so charming. It's so good. Those are the things I'm really getting into. And then, I mean, I just listen to literally anything. I sent you guys an audio file of the Van Helsing thing, and I literally named it Van Haling Sing. Just because whatever, I was listening to Van Halen earlier today. Like, I'll put on whatever in that sense. And then movies, it's a lot of trashy TV, as Ashley knows from our live streams.
Have you watched The Ultimatum Thursdays. Yet?
I still haven't watched The Ultimatum yet. But so when we're bad. Done recording, I will be going to hang out a little bit with my friend who I'm supposed to start watching it with. So maybe that's what we'll do. I'll say put on first episode of Ultimatum so I can figure out what's going on.
I've come to really like asking people this because in this era, all I want to do is not go to the movie theaters. Matt, what's the last movie that you saw in the movie theater?
Whew. Was it Spider-Verse? It may have been Spider-Verse. Yeah, I'm like, I almost want to open up my letterbox to confirm, but I'm pretty sure it's been a while. Partially just because now we're like hitting this point where too much is out and yes. But it's also gone so quickly. Like I didn't get around to seeing the Ninja Turtles movie, and I really, really want it to.
It's good.
It's really good.
It's really good.
But like now it's already available for like digital purchase. And I'm like, Barbie. Barbie was the last thing I saw in theaters. Then Spider-Verse. And Barbie was like a must. I mean, how do you not? That was the of all of the films that are struck, like that actually at Horror Movie Night, we're trying to also respect that. And that was the one where it's like, I am absolutely gutted that we can't talk about how good that movie is because it just feels an important movie in a very big way. And it's such a, you know, when you heard like they're going to make a Barbie movie, you're like, great. You know what I mean? Like it was, and to do something that's so smart and funny and interesting. And now I'm like staring at my letterbox. I'm like, what else did I watch that I really liked? Also Sharksploitation on Shudder. It's a documentary about the history of all of the shark movies that came out after Jaws. And I mean, some of those movies are absolute like among my favorite movies. 1980s Alligator is still one of my all-time favorite movies, and it's dumb. It's like it's a dumb movie. It's about a giant alligator living in the sewers of New York killing people, but it's done. You know what, to tie it back to the episode that I got kidnapped from, it's kind of the tone that I wish Van Helsing had, where it takes itself seriously but knows that it's dumb and lets the fact that they're so seriously doing something dumb be the comedy of it all. Mm-hmm. Where like, Van Helsing definitely feels like it's above acknowledging that it's kind of dumb what they're doing. But yeah, I think I actually watched Sharksploitation twice. I watched it once and then was at a friend's house and was like, have you seen the Sharksploitation documentary? And watched about the first hour of it with them while they were watching it for the first time.
I saw, because you brought up Barbie, I saw a meme today that I thought, and it's still relevant because it's not Halloween yet, I thought was very funny. You know the Ken outfit where he has the fuzzy vest on?
Yes.
And they were like, it was a still of that, and the meme said, all of the most horrible men you know will be wearing this for their Halloween costumes.
Yes. Oh my God.
And I screamed at that.
I also saw a very funny meme where it was that Ken.
Yes.
But it was in the middle of Albert Einstein and Oppenheimer from Oppenheimer.
Oh, yes.
And it had Albert Einstein, the text said, my grandfather. Oppenheimer was like, my dad. And then Ken was like, me right now.
Yeah.
One of the things that made me laugh recently was, I feel like I'm just like giving shout outs to my boy Bacon all over the place lately. But he does a podcast called Adam Sandler, Please Stop. So they just recently covered the newest Adam Sandler movie on Netflix. You're So Not Invited. It's My Bar Mitzvah, which is great. Like I hate to say that, but it is phenomenal. It is a great coming of age teen movie that does not feel like it hits any of the Adam Sandler isms. Mm-hmm. And then when they were reviewing it, they were talking about how the cast is almost identical to the cast from Uncut Gems.
Is Julia Fox in it?
Well, it's his wife, all of his kids, and then Adele Dazeem. They started joking of like, oh, it's almost like it's an alternate universe version where like he doesn't become a gambler that like ruins his family's life. And then out of nowhere, his co-host Caleb is like, actually watching Uncut Gems in this movie is basically the Adam Sandler equivalent of Barbenheimer. And I screamed in my car. I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. I love the idea that there could be an Adam Sandler equivalent to Barbenheimer of just watching a punishing movie and like a bright, beautiful movie all at once. But yeah, no, it's really a bummer that there's some truly great movies that are coming out that are essentially going to be looked at as box office disappointments.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because of greedy studios, and the greedy studios are going to turn around and try to blame it on other people. It's such a messy situation. It is such a bummer that there's these fantastic films like Barbie. I mean, Barbie is obviously one of the most successful films of the year, but everybody's telling me how great Turtles was. And across the board, it seems like that movie super underperformed against expectations because there was no way to promote it anywhere.
Yeah, there was an exact a quote from a studio head that said that it would have done better if actors had been able to promote it. And it was really nice to see that they tacitly agreed that actors and writers should be paid and should be allowed to promote their projects and that what they do is valuable. Yeah. But you know, it's all fine. Everything's fine.
It's all good. Matt, real quick, thank you again for joining us. Let our listeners again know about your plethora of amazing podcasts that you host.
Absolutely. Horror Movie Night is definitely probably the thing I'll go to the grave being remembered for creating. But One Hit Thunder, also pretty big up there. Every week, me and my friend Chris break down the entire history of a different one-hit wonder and dive into their back catalog, try to decide if their success brought the thunder or if they were a blunder. And then the Weird Algorithm podcast just keeps, it's the gift that just keeps giving. Every time that we record an episode, I feel like, well, this is the best episode of a podcast I'm ever going to record. And then we sit down and we record something where I'm like, I can't believe that we keep having this much fun and having this much to say about one particular human being. So someone said this to me the other day, and it was the most beautiful compliment I've ever received. So I will pitch it to your Patreon right now. Even if you don't like Weird Al, which, I mean, you should like Weird Al. He's pretty much one of the few saints we have left still walking this earth. But if for some reason you don't like Weird Al, you should still listen to the podcast, because as one of our recent guests said, your show is less about Weird Al and more about the pop culture that allowed Weird Al to exist successfully for so long. And I was like, I almost cried when he said that to us on the air, because I was like, oh my God, we did create a podcast that is just about the pop culture of the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, because that's all he wrote about. It's kind of just a nostalgic walk through remembering these three decades that this guy just continues to be the voice of reason in some circumstances with his comedy. And then Geekscape.net, you can find all the other shows that I help out on, either as a producer or just as a guiding hand when they have any questions.
Well, Matt, I don't understand, because I watched the Weird Al movie and he wrote those songs first.
He did write those songs first.
People copied him.
Listen, when they finally blew the lid off the idea that Michael Jackson beat him to be, like, awful.
Like Madonna, Michael Jackson, the Beach Boys stole from him.
Yes.
He wrote, Don McLean, all of them. They ripped Weird Al off. Weird Al is the greatest musician of all time.
They're joking, friends, but Jason also does make us listen to the Weird Al mashup at the end of
every
year.
As a reference to the Weird Al movie that is on Roku and a bunch of places, it was fantastic and great. Again, thank you so much, Matt, for joining us again. And thank you, lovely patrons, for listening to our extra episode. It's because of your support that we can do these extra episodes. We can kidnap Matt. We'll open the door. Here, we open the stagecoach. You can leave now, Matt.
Yay! Bye, everybody.
Yep. There he goes. He's skipping out the door.
Skipping all the way back to the East Coast. It's going to be a long skip.
It'll be a long skip. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Turner.
Watch out for those stagecoaches. Bye-bye.